It's The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde.
I'm Steve Scherr. John Kerry is speaking right now about the Ukrainian crisis. We're going to be tracking that with you for the next few moments as well. You know, last Saturday, Russian troops showed up in Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula. Since then, analysts have been scratching their heads about Russian President Vladimir Putin's possible motives. Well, Masha Gessen has been thinking about Vladimir Putin's motives. She's spent more time than most people wondering what's going on in Putin's head. She's the author of The Man Without a Face, The Unlikely Rise of Vladimir Putin. Masha Gessen, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, what do you think? People are looking at Vladimir Putin and they're saying there's some strange behavior here. He had a phone call with Angela Merkel last week and she reportedly said that he'd lost touch with reality. Is Putin, is he okay?
Well, yes and no. I mean, he has been watching his own television for the last 15 years, and that has to have an effect. I think he is extremely isolated. We know that he has very limited access to information. So all of that would give one the sense of talking to somebody who is not quite in touch with reality. But I think she's talking about something else as well. He really, truly believes that he has a right to do what he is doing. And one of the reasons he believes this is because he has been violating and mocking and ignoring international law for a decade and a half at this point. And for most of this time, the West has stood by and smiled or pretended not to notice.
What would the West's other alternatives have been in response?
Well, some symbolic gestures are important. They are of limited influence. And obviously, with a situation like the invasion of Ukraine, symbolic gestures are no longer appropriate. But I'll give you an example. Last September, Russia kidnapped 30 Greenpeace activists in international waters. They were aboard a ship that was flying the Dutch flag. The Netherlands, while these people were being held hostage in a Russian jail for 2 months, the Netherlands filed suit in the International Tribunal on the Law of the Seas. Russia refused to attend the tribunal. The tribunal ruled against Russia. Russia ignored the decision, and the prime minister and the king of the Netherlands went to the Sochi Olympics, the big party that Putin threw. This is the sort of thing that communicates to Putin that he can get away with just about anything. To him, there isn't a significant difference between taking a ship with 30 people on it and invading Crimea, which he already thinks is his.
That's interesting. You know, John Kerry says that he's saying this right now. We cannot allow the integrity and sovereignty of the Ukraine to go unanswered. But does Vladimir Putin hear that and think empty words?
I think he does. And I think there's a very good chance they are empty words. And at this point, you know, I have no strategic advice for John Kerry. I feel like strategically anything that the United States can do right now will exacerbate the situation and will certainly not make it better, which is a horrible situation for politicians to be in. You know, when you can't think strategically, you can only think of what the right thing to do is. But the right thing to do is obviously is to stand up for Ukraine. Will that stop Putin? I don't think so.
Is that right? I mean, we don't see that happening. Well, then what about the Ukrainians themselves? What can they do to stand up to the Russians dismembering their country?
The Ukrainians have declared general mobilization. That's, I think, one of the most frightening things to both the Ukrainians and the Russians who are watching this that has happened in the last week is the spectacle of the people next door signing up for the draft to fight, you know, people that they've been living in the same country with for longer than anyone can remember. And it's very reminiscent of the Balkan Wars.
Yeah, and those got very bloody. I mean, are we looking at a potential for blood?
Absolutely. I mean, it's easy to say we're looking at a potential. Will that actually happen? I think it's too early to say, but it's certainly not a negligible possibility.
Hmm. Masha Gessen has been looking at Vladimir Putin and his motives. What is your sense beyond him seeing the West as perhaps impotent to deal with his actions? What's your sense of the personal motives at play in Putin's actions?
I think he believes that it's his historic mission to return as much of the Soviet Union as possible. Crimea is important symbolically. It's historically Russian. I mean, this is also very reminiscent of the Balkan Wars, of course, is this historic argument. Whose was it first? Well, there are actually still Russians alive who remember Crimea being a part of Russia. It was a given to the Ukraine by Khrushchev in 1955. So he feels it's the right thing to do. That's his motivation. In no small part, he's also motivated by the need to continuously mobilize the population. I mean, his politics have traditionally been a politics of mobilization. This is his tradition and the Russian tradition. His power has weakened in the last few years. He's faced a mass protest movement, so he needs to mobilize the population further, and he needs to keep raising the stakes. It's all good and well and good to chase minorities like LGBT people, but it's even better to wage a war in terms of mobilization.
Is he afraid at all because his power is waning?
I think he is afraid, but we shouldn't confuse that with being vulnerable. I think, yes, he feels constantly under siege, but that's a normal state for him. It's a normal state, actually, for Russian politicians. It's a normal state for Putin. That is what he uses to motivate him, and that's what he uses to mobilize the population. So he feels under siege. What has happened in Ukraine over the last 3 months has made him feel more under siege. He feels that the West is encroaching on his territory. This is a very visceral feeling for him. So that does make him scared. It does not, however, make him vulnerable, because he does have an extreme ability to mobilize Russia around this feeling under siege. And, of course, he has total control of the media.
You know, you were born in Russia. You hold dual citizenship with Russia and the U.S. When you think about the fact that Vladimir Putin has risen to the top of Russian politics, what does that say to you about your home country now?
Well, I just left Russia 2 months ago, so I think that's all I need to say. I had gone back to Russia after living in the United States for more than 10 years, and I lived there for 20, and I actually planned to stay there. I left because it was no longer possible for me to live there, and I also left because I feel like there's no hope.
Wow. Well, we'll leave it at that. We'll have to think about how things unfold from that, Masha Gessen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Masha Gessen is the author of The Man Without a Face, The Unlikely Rise of Vladimir Putin. It's The Record.